If you need it, there's water here.
There's water.
Yes.
Oh, this is official.
This is official.
Yeah, y'all actually, but you wouldn't even think drunks put this together. I don't need this microphone. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
All right. Okay, perfect. All right, my name's James Pullman. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I go by Jimmy because when I go by James, I feel like I'm in court again. You know, but it's really confusing when they ask me for my name on an application. My name's James. Then I go by Jimmy. It's just confusing. But great to have me today. Great speaker with Cheryl. Great fellowship that took time out of their personal lives to put all these chairs out, these goodies on the tables. And I just want to thank everybody that did that. You know, sometimes we forget about the sacrifices that other individuals make so that we can enjoy something because we're selfish and self-centered alcoholics. That's the condition. And that'll continue to persist until we look at it. That's the pivotal step of four. You know, I came into a treatment center fresh off a year run after 9 years of sobriety and 4 years of white knuckling. I don't know if any of y'all ever white knuckled your sobriety before, but man, it's a trip. You know what I mean? You just there with you. All day, everything is the reason you're affected in life. They don't talk to me right. They don't treat me right. Life is so unfair. 4 years of that bludgeoning. No wonder I committed to the drink again. It's the only alleviation I could find. Some people talk about when they drink again as the four horsemen showed up. I was alleviated. It was finally over. Alcohol had removed the malady from me. And then it had instilled fear. So I come into this treatment center and I got to get outside of myself. I already know what I know and I know you don't know more than me. Right. Three was a different experience with me and I can't do four without three. I can't do three without two. And one was the education that I needed to become willing. So after three, I'm sitting in this little room with this guy I consider a nut job and this other dude who says he's my sponsor. No, he didn't even say he was my sponsor. He just started reading the book with me and I anointed him as such. I'm dead ass. I'm not lying to you. I remember a guy said, hey, did you ask him to be your sponsor? I was like, did Bob ask Bill? What are we talking about here? Right? You think Bob was waiting on Bill? Bill showed up. But we make a newcomer raise his hand and ask. Stop. I'm telling you what it is. So I'm sitting in this room and this guy's reading this and man, I was so removed from what I remember the bestowing of the third step promise. And we're starting to read this book. I'm casually going through it and I just start to weep. I'm breaking down. I'm crying. Because I remember, man, God didn't forsake me. I forgot him. I'd walked as far away from him as I could and I just said, man, like, and then blamed him for everything. I had the audacity to blame the circumstances. I had the pride to deny that I had any role in it. And I had this they call white light moment. I had a wet moment. You know, I'm crying so much, I'm trying not to let the tears hit my face. I'm trying to wink and blink and let them hug the floor. So if anybody asked me to pick my head up, they won't know I was crying, right? Because I'm clever alcoholic. I'm real clever. I have this moment and this man has the audacity to give me a pen and a notebook. Said, you know what, it's gonna happen again unless this gets done. You know, I was one for wet goods and dry goods, and I was never one for procrastination when it came time to use either. I didn't let the beer sit on the table. I didn't let the dope sit on the counter. I did it when I got it. So imagine the disconnect when a guy gives me a notebook and I say, I'll do it tomorrow. I write a little bit, say, I'll do it tomorrow. I must have forgotten what the condition was and I must have forgotten what the solution is. I must forget what's going to happen if I don't do both. So I get my notebook. I don't write that much. I write a little. And then I'm trying to carry on this life that I thought I still wanted. It was mainly with the stripper out of Ybor. But anyway. We had a disagreement on the phone, the PHP house phone, because I ain't got no cell phone at this time. It had been taken by a biker gang. Misunderstanding. And I'm trying to recreate this life I still think is mine. Like, what would make me happy? That's all I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to create peace, but I'm creating calamity. So she blocked me. The nerve blocked me. And I was so mad and upset that I buried myself in my notebook. And that day, I can say, associated changed my life. I wrote my fourth out in a night. Didn't take 2 weeks. Didn't take 2 months. It took just enough emotional distress, enough physical strain to want to do something about it. So like, when I see people that get a notebook and they take a little bit of time with it and a little bit of time with it, then it never gets done. And if I don't understand what I've been doing, I will do it again. I can tell you from 1999 to 2009, I don't remember much because it was pretty much the same. I can give you a brief narrative. My sober date is 2020, April 12th or 13th, I think. I don't really remember. I just came in. But a pattern of events that just kept up happening. I get this notebook, I write it. My favorite thing about it is when I write the first time and I'm writing resentments. Yo, Alcoholics Anonymous is clever. They are. The first thing they want you to write about is resentments. Good. Can't wait to tell you about everybody that's done me wrong. You know what I mean? Right? You damn alcoholic wouldn't pick up a pen unless that was the objective. You imagine if you had to write, you know, what you had done wrong first? There'd be a lot of dead drunks in this room. Now, I'll tell you what they did. I'll tell you what got me mad, because that's anger is the only emotion I can feel at this time. Resentment? Oh, I ain't resentful. I'm just upset. Been upset 15 years over this. Ain't no resentment. Damn. I had to have somebody break down the word resentment. So anyway, I get it and I write it. And boy, do I write them. Don't you know what my mother did to me? Don't you know how my father alienated me? Don't you know about these filthy ass women that have been coming in my life? Resentment. And the more I put down this, I remember on my far right, you had to write, you know, the parts of self that were affected. You know what I mean? I wrote numbers. Right? I had numbers, the parts of myself that had been affected. And my sponsor looked at it and he said, you're supposed to write the whole word. I was like, but hold on, don't you understand? This is like a legend and it saves writing time and I'm getting it more efficiently done. He was like, nah, that's not how this works. It works how the book says we work it. And the book didn't need my augmentation or my adjustments or my edits. Although I felt it could have benefited from it greatly. It could have. I mean, I have a version of my version of the big book. It's called N.A. No. Funny. I haven't said the F word yet. I would like, this is the longest I've ever shared without the F bomb, by the way. Just give me an effing chance, all right? All right. We enlisted people, institutions, principals from whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. I just wrote, I was angry. In most cases, we found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were, quote unquote, burned up. I never looked at that before in my life. I just moved through life and things were happening and I was happening to things. I never actually took the time to look what it was doing. But in the third step, I remember a guy telling me, he was like, yo, God's gonna move a mountain in your life, young man. Now go get the shovel. God was there to give me strength. God was there to give me courage. God was there to give me hope. I was there to give the lending muscle, because my life was my responsibility. The pen became the shovel. By scoop, by brick, we started to build a new life. And in this, when I look at the four step, a lot of like people that I see write effect. How this affect me then? And the reason I try to help teach people to get away from this, because it's still selfish and self-centered. Look what happened to me. The affect is look what I'm doing to others. This isn't my inventory. This is what God's bringing before me to what I see to myself. This is an ordained moment between me and my new employer. This is his workload. And this is what he's asked me to do. And he's asking me to get outside of myself and let's see what is actually affecting those who are closest to me. And in this, I found fears. I like in here. Now, I like in the big book how we go ahead, we go from resent, cause, and then we bracket fear. Because fear is so elusive, right? It talks about in the big book, and it's a corroding. It's in the fabric of our existence. It hides. I'll tell you how many footsteps I've heard, and a guy comes in and he goes, I'm fear of snakes and clowns. I was like, well, damn, you both, so we're going to have an issue. So you got not a lot of mirror work we're doing today, buddy. Snakes and clowns. I had the audacity of saying the same thing the first time I wrote a fifth step or a fourth step. Poor sponsor. Had to sit through a filth of just me saying what had happened to me. And then when it came down to my part, oh man, it was paragraphs on their part. My part, brief narrative. You know what I mean? What did my ex-wife do? Paragraph. What did I do? I lied. You know what happens to the alcoholic that does that? They get drunk again. Because there's this part of the book, they said they only thought they had humbled themselves. They only thought they did the work, right? I didn't look at myself. I looked at everybody else. I was looking at how I needed this fourth step to go to get to my fifth step so I could get to IOP. I'm faking it, man. I'm writing because I feel bad, not because I feel hopeless. I still think in some part of my mind, like I have alcoholism. Just because I woke up yesterday and I woke up today and I didn't drink doesn't mean I don't have alcoholism. The hardest things is that I need to be convinced every morning that A, that I'm an alcoholic and that I cannot manage my own life. That B, no human power, including my sponsor, my employer, my sober supports, any person can relieve my alcoholism. And that God could and would if he were sought. If I believe that and I'm convinced of that, then I'm ready to carry on. I'm ready to do a little bit of writing, cleaning out my head in the morning. I wake up, I had this roommate, man. We woke up, man. And we used to joke about it. Like first thing I think about being pissed off. Didn't sleep right, man. Back hurts. I can tell you what I need to write about in my morning meditation because of one of my first three FUs come up to my mind. They dominate me. I'll be mad at the same person for weeks. It's not a mystery. I just don't want to look at it. I'll rationalize why these thoughts are allowed to dominate me. And I'll make it okay because I'm not drinking over them. You ever have a justified argument with yourself over why you feel like you feel? Yeah, man. That's 7:30 a.m. meditation time. You know what I mean? Well, I know I probably shouldn't feel this way, but that guy's a son of a bitch. He treated me unfairly. Happens all the time, untreated alcoholism. That's why inventory is a pivotal part. I put it on paper. I let God tell me what it is, and I stop telling God what it is. If I back it out far enough, I can find the fear. If I find the fear, then I find the motivating factor that is determining 6 and 7. You know why we believe fear? Because we don't believe God. This is a dangerous fact. My heading will be coursed by something. I remember, man, first time I was in treatment, 2010, I was with this guy, Dustin Pilnato, God rest his soul. He had been through 27 treatment centers. Gentleman is 23 years old. My guy had gold stars. I'm about to leave, about to go to the sober house. I'm from Virginia, by the way. I'm down in Florida. I'm the only one of my kind in my family in Florida. As far as I know, I'm the only one with an alcoholic condition in my family that is in treatment in Florida. I'm down here trying to figure this out at 28 years old all by myself, as I conceived it. And this guy looked at me as I was like, man, I was a little fearful leaving because like I'd seen so many people come back before I'd even left. Said they were wanting to get sober, said they was going to do anything, and shit, they was back on a detox taper before I even completed 35 days. So that made me wonder, like, I wanted... But am I just like them? Were they lying or am I lying? Like I was worried. I was scared. And he said, this guy, so many treatment centers, Dustin. He goes, a man, is like a vessel, and he can be captained by either fear or faith, but he cannot be steered by both. When we come to the definitive lines in our life, it makes it really easy to know where we're at. It's when we play in gray, I play in bullshit. Either I am in line with fear or I'm in line with faith. It is no, there's no third outcome. Either I'm doing what God asked me to do or I'm doing what I believe I should do. Fear is hard for me to remove and I cannot remove it, not without God, because I believe in it. How are you gonna undo your own belief system? It has to be done with an outside source. That belief system that I believe in is cultivated in God-given characteristics for me and made them into weapons. You know, like one, like, so I looked at defects of character. I looked all over my fifth step and I could tell you I'm selfish, inconsiderate, you know, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I'm all this shit. But the whole thing about the defect is what comes in between my relationship with God and my helpfulness to the alcoholic. I can do all this other stuff and I can make it this cognitive behavioral therapy adjustment. But really, today, what came between me and helping the alcoholic and me and my relationship with God, and that's what needs my attention today. You sit an alcoholic down and you put down all of his defects and tell him he's got to take a crack at it, man. That's a lot. Well, yesterday is a memory and tomorrow is a mystery. So let's just see what happened today. I can't even tell you how many times sponsees call me before I'm about to do some dumb shit. God knows. Like, I don't know how it works. I don't know. But I'm about to get in some dumbness and somebody want to call. Every time. Twice sometimes. And this is me. Am I willing to believe or am I willing not? Where are you at, Jim? Do you want to take, like, you ever heard that, like, the story of the guy who the flood comes? People come knock on his door. People come shout while he's on the roof. People come behind a boat. People come behind a helicopter. Like, how many life rings are you going to need, Jim, before you accept that God has a better plan for you than what the fear does? So character defects I looked at, and I could see the easy ones, gossip. But, like, could I look at the ones that were really impeding on my helpfulness to the newcomer, like my intelligence, my articulation? Sometimes when you use different words in front of people, it can make them feel like they don't have anything to offer. How often would a share dominate the room to where somebody else feel like they didn't have anything to offer? Can a defect in a man be to shut up? Can it to give the room the openness it needs to know for that it's somebody that's sick and suffering be able to open their mouth and say they are, not because you want to glorify the big book? How is heavy? Don't see that without inventory. You just coast through life. Who would see that? And this is where amends start now. Man, whole 40 minutes? Oh, boy. Tom, you're not going to need that timer, buddy. I was in a transition, right? I don't know if anybody's educated to the therapeutic system, but you go from what's called, you know, PHP, which is 6 hours of clinical service a day, 5 to 6 hours a week, to IOP, which is 3 to 9 hours a week of clinical service. You live at an outpatient sober house. You get just enough rope to do all the dumb stuff you want, and then 3 hours to try to fix it in group. We had it by Zoom, so you can imagine how engaged I was. He'd be like, I just want one person talking on camera at a time. Bet everybody tried to talk first. That way they could go do whatever they wanted after that. I was getting a lot out of that. I remember, like, I was doing, first person I want to make an amends to, I don't know if anybody else identifies with this, is ex-lovers. I want to make that amend just so you know how good I'm doing right now. How much you missed out on. I got a phone again. Can I get some gas money to come see you? The amends process was right. It's a fact. Look, there you go. Yeah, that's the truth. Look, I made amends because I was remorseful, not because I wanted to make things right. I wanted the discomfort to stop. I didn't want to go as a vessel to God. I wanted the dissatisfaction that I had in my life to be restored to satisfaction. I was the director. I can't tell you how many nine-step director amends I made before I finally got it. And you know who taught me it? My ex-wife. Boy, you ever want to know a character defect, call one of them. If you're limited in your understanding of what seven is, call an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend. They tell you just about yourself. I remember I'm doing these things, right? And my poor sponsor, oh man, this brings me back to something. Man, I used to complain to this guy every day about how unfair this woman was, how she mistreated me, how she kept my children from me. Ford taught me, man. She wasn't keeping my children from me. She was protecting my children from me. What you talking about, Jimmy? You was a clear and present danger to your children's safety and livelihood. And you'll do it again. I don't care if you swear you will or won't. You will, unless you do something about it. So I'm going through. I would always act like an idiot on text message, engaging. I didn't know how not to engage. It was low-hanging fruit, my man. It was easy to show this woman where she was wrong. It was clear as day. And every time, like Kung Fu, man, she whooped my ass. I'd feel bad, and I'd have to make an amend. Right? Because I'm engaging in it. I remember I'm making an amend to her, and she goes, Jimmy, man, she goes, don't even make that amend. She's in recovery too, right? So I don't know if you know this, but you always know how somebody else is supposed to work their program. You know you lie. You always know where somebody else's discrepancies in their program is, because self can't see self. It's 100%. That's why I have people around me point it out to me. As long as I say they can. Don't you come up and bring none to my attention I didn't solicit. Critic. She said, Jimmy, why don't you just stop making amends and change? She goes, you want to know the amend, Jimmy? Stop acting like you act. I don't want to hear it again. My amend to my ex-wife to this day is shut the F up. I don't say anything. She late, I don't say none. She act like an idiot, I don't say none. My living amend every day for the rest of my freaking life. is to shut up. But I know peace and I know happiness now. But in that moment, boy, in that moment, I want to tell her about herself. Yo, so my favorite thing is she went to an AA convention in Jacksonville last week, came back and blew out on me. Boy, you know how bad I want to say, man, I'm so glad you went to AA with your sponsor for a convention because you came back spiritual. Director. Amends are difficult. Amends have this word that are tuned into the promise of them. It's painstaking. It's not a fun word, right? It's when the denial of self can happen, then God can intercede in me. As long as there's a difference between self-destruction and destruction of self. Me doing nine under my condition and under my direction is self-destructive. Me doing it under God's direction, under God's instruction, destruction of self. These ideas, these plans, these manipulated affairs that I had built into my head that I was going to cultivate rest, satisfaction out of this life by this amend was going to blow up in my face. I mean, I still have amends that I struggle with making. Toyota calls me all the time and lets me know that I need to make an amend to them. I tell them I will when I'm not too busy with work right now. So, Mr. Pullman, I'm here and you have a job. You know, signing up for AA, I definitely didn't sign up for a notebook. You know what I mean? And definitely, if you would have looked at the troublesome past that I had with my alcoholism, any human power would have told you that notebook is not going to do no good to it. You can write all day you want. As long as you're lying, it ain't going to do no good. I write continually because I still have problems, because I'm still alcoholic. I can tell you where I call it the frustration tolerance. If I have a low frustration tolerance, boy, pen better hit that pad soon. Because I don't, drinking's not my problem. I don't know if y'all was ever like, yo, let me go turn up this problem. I was like, yo, drinking was my solution. And if life keeps bottling up and these problems keep accumulating, I'm going to do what I only know how to do, and that's to get drunk again. If I'm not willing to humbly look at myself, yo, you think about how crazy this is. I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. We all want to talk about ourselves, but none of us want to look at ourselves. There is like this spiritual barrier. Some call it ego. Some call it whatever lower form of self. I don't care. But man, when you get the pen and you're like, go look at yourself. You're like, nah, I don't want to do that. What you talking about? Denial, delusion. It's so powerful. We're willing to risk when, because AA brings things back in our life, right? You know, I like how AA don't give results, but they give promises. It's like, what are you talking about? You gave a promise. Don't guarantee results, though. Some things started coming back, and they're beyond my comprehension how they came back. Like right now, okay, so I had an ex-wife that wouldn't even let me touch the kids. First time I got to see him was after I was sober for 5 months. It was a supervised visit for Father's Day at the pool where she could keep her eye on me. Now she like, you better come get these kids. I would have cried in PHP all the time. Tell you, man, I just miss my kids. Now, man, she like, come get them kids. I'd be like, damn, I'm busy. Right? So the amend to my kids is that I'll stop making excuses not to see them, and I'll make the excuse to see them. Instead of telling my kids I couldn't see baseball because I had to work, I'm going to tell work I can't do it because I got to see baseball. That's how you pay it. Man, the financial ones seem so much easier than that. But they're not. I got to change the way. Painstaking. Like, these promises that happen in 9 are remarkable. And you, it's like, are these remarkable? I was like, hell yeah, they are. You telling to the alcoholic who just got a white chip that this is going to happen? Yeah, this is it. Yeah. That's unfathomable. I have to not only write it, I don't have to just identify it, but I have to take a course of action about it. You know, it's easy for me to ease up, right? I'm one of those alcoholics. I'm motivated by pain. I'm encouraged by discomfort. And I heard a guy say, yo, the mean is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And like so many times I come in razzing, I'm like, yeah, I drove a car here, got gas in it, got a valid license to drive it, got insurance on it. And man, maybe I just don't need it as much as I did before. And that's why 10, 11, and 12 are pivotal, because after I start working with somebody for a little bit, I know I need it. I do a step study workshop at this treatment program, right? And I love the steps. I love 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in particular, because 3, 1, jails, institutions, and death. 2, I'm crazier and batshit. 3, God's going to be the only option that you got, Jim. Whatever that concept needs to be at this time, but it's the only one. And 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 were things I could do. They were things that I had to apply myself to. So I do this workshop, and man, every time we like, where are you at? You know what I mean? Try to understand where everybody's at. And man, I see the same people with this. Been on 4. I'm on 4. I'm on 4. I'm on 4. Like, man, I didn't see you last week. Where were you? I was in detox. Yeah. Where you at? I'm on 4. All right. Y'all laugh. Y'all know. Some of y'all in the room. Don't worry about it. It's meant for you. It is what it is. I sit in the seat that I sit in, and I'm allowed to sit in it. I earned it. You know, I have restoration in my life, and I would love to say that all those gifts coming back are why I'm sober today, but they're all the reasons that I'll go back out. Yo, we fall in love with the blessings and forget the blesser. I do it all the time. I forget who made the miracle. Fear will creep in and say, I made the miracle. And then here it comes again, the fire. Man, I don't know if there's anything else I can say besides, if you're not happy, joyous, and free, you're not writing. if you feel like you're living in a cycle and every day's like the last and you're not looking at yourself and you're doing the same thing, so you're getting the same things. I'm either going to walk by sight or walk by faith. It's so often that God's plans and my plans don't coincide. And it's a good thing. One of my amends too was this. I had to come to this idea that maybe my kids were better without me. Maybe I had done so much damage and so much harm that I had forfeited that right permanently. Maybe I had to understand that it was over, that my kids could live a happy, joyous, and fruitful life filled with peace, prosperity, and purpose, and I just couldn't be there to have it with them. Was I willing to trust God then? If that's what God's plan was, I cried. I cried deeply. But that's what it was about now. My ideas are God's ideas. And I trusted God with that. And I laid it down that day on that patio. I was like, God, if it's on you that I'm not dad anymore, then I understand that. But I can't risk the selfish and self-centeredness opportunity to go be part of their lives and destroy them again. And I trusted that with them. And I just need to trust that process with every other thing now, right? The ex-wife, the job. The sex issue, you know what I mean? Like, whatever it needs to be. It has to be trusted with God. How many of them 5 minutes we got left, Tom? I'm running out of stuff.
Got about 2 minutes.
Thank you for letting me share.